Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Forget the Diet. Forget the Diet. You know, Paul did say, he said, I buffeted my body, didn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, I... Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says this, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word, say every word that comes from the mouth of God. Anyone tonight here ever been on a diet? Well, apparently recent research by the British Dietetic Association found that a third of people ended up heavier than their original weight only a few weeks after dieting. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And yet dieting is a multi-billion pound industry that basically depends on the failure of its products. Dieting is a multi-billion pound industry worldwide that basically depends on the failure of its products. A diet is defined as a special course of food to which one restricts oneself. I'd like you to take note there. Restricts. See, dieting is basically unhealthy. To restrict means to deprive of freedom of movement or action and to limit. Some of the most popular diets are the Atkins diet, the vegetarian or vegan diet, the Weight Watchers diet, the South Beach diet. That's not South Beach store. We had it like raw food. Raw food diet, Mediterranean diet. And they're all based on restricting the intake of certain foods, leading to an unhealthy balance in what people eat. You offer somebody something and they say, oh, I can't eat that. I'm on a diet. And usually they're really smiling when they say it. Have you noticed that? In fact, the face usually drops, or they'll say, oh, I'd love to, but I can't. I'd love to, but I can't. And then immediately you ask them, what diet are you on? And so what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. Many people are on a spiritual diet that restricts what they can eat from the Word of God and usually leaves them miserable. And ultimately will leave them heavier. Come on. They might be on a Calvinist diet, or a Presbyterian diet, or a Pentecostal diet, or a charismatic diet. There's a lot of fad diets, you know. There's fad diets that become popular just for a short time. A fad is defined as a temporary fashion, notion, or manner of conduct, especially one followed enthusiastically by a group. A lot of fads. Up 1 minute, down the next, you know what I'm saying? There's people on these different kinds of spiritual diets. You offer them what the Word of God says, and they say, I can't swallow that. Some of them even say, I'd love to, but I can't. I'd love to believe that, but I can't believe that. I can't swallow that. And you know what? They end up miserable. They end up carrying things. They end up carrying weight that they don't need to carry. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Hallelujah. There's deliverance for all the dieters tonight. Glory to God. God sends His word to heal. He sends His word to deliver, isn't that? Good news. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. It says, Nehemiah. Did I say Jeremiah? Oh, well, I'm terribly sorry. Nehemiah. I didn't say Nehemiah, didn't I? Yeah. It's not what I'm saying, it's how you're hearing it's the problem. we'll try. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. We'll start from there. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading of Nehemiah. That's not Jeremiah, this is Nehemiah. You won't find Jeremiah in Nehemiah. So, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, it says, Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I want to tell you, if your diet leaves you miserable, it's worthless. It goes on and it says in verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. If your diet leaves you miserable, it's worthless. Do you know that there are foods that actually make you happy? They call them happy foods. Now, some of them are on the supposedly healthy list. For example, bananas, oranges, walnuts, turkey, and water. They're all on the happy foods list. But so are chocolate. So is chocolate. Come on. Come on, give me a big smile, Katrina. Come on. Chocolate's a happy food. Red meat is a happy food. Coffee is a happy food. If your diet's not making you happy, it's unhealthy. If your spiritual diet doesn't make you happy, then that's unhealthy. Hear what I said? If your spiritual diet is not making you happy, then it's unhealthy. Our spiritual food intake should include healthy portions of what feeds our happiness. God's love for us, his full provision for us in spirit, soul and body, his protection over us. You see, those who can't swallow that because they're on some wacko diet will end up heavier and more weighed down with things that they don't need to be carrying. Some people, you try to talk to them about God's love, can't swallow that. They're on some wacko diet. And they end up heavier, carrying things they don't need to carry. You try and tell people the good news about healing, and oh, I can't swallow that. They're on some wacko diet. Tell them about deliverance, you can be free. You don't have to be bound by that anymore. You don't have to be bound by that depression anymore. Oh, I can't swallow that. They're on some wacko diet. Eat the fat. Don't have person say, eat the fat. And drink the sweet. You know, so, our grandparents lived to a ripe old age on full cream milk. On crowdy and cream. Made from milk straight from the cow. On every cut of meat from a sheep, including the blood. They salted everything. Jesus said, mind you, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 50. In Mark chapter 9, verse 50, salt is good. Salt is good. Who said that? Jesus said that. I know everybody else says it's not good, but Jesus said salt is good. Our grandparents put at least two spoons of sugar in all 20 cups of tea every day. Come on. You know why they could do that? Because they put it to work. They put it to work. They ate the full, the fat, and they drank the sweet, and they put it to work. Hallelujah. God wants you to eat the fat of his word, to drink the sweet of his word, and then put it into action in your life. Go out there and exercise it. Amen. You know what? See, many people think the word of God is all about restriction. They think the word of God is about telling you what you can't do, what you can't have, and what you can't be. And most non-Christians, that's what they think. That the word of God is all about restriction. That's why young people will tell you, I want to be a Christian, but not yet. I don't want that kind of restriction in my life. But I'll tell you, it's not just the unsaved that believe that. A lot of Christians believe that. That the word of God is all about telling you what you can't do, what you can't have, and what you can't be. And that's how the people who were listening to Ezra as he read the word, they were listening to Ezra read the word, and they thought it was about restriction. And that's why they were mourning. And that's why they were weeping. They were hearing the word, but they were hearing it wrong. They had the wrong filters. They were on the wrong diet. They were mourning and weeping. They thought God only came to restrict them, to take from them. How many people still think that way? But Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites, it says in verse 9 of Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, told them to stop mourning and to stop weeping. Nehemiah said, come on, let's say it. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Come on. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. You see, fat speaks of abundance. When the Bible speaks about fat, it speaks about the abundance of God. It speaks about the more than enough. It speaks about the excess. Come on. I don't know about you. A piece of meat with no fat and it's got no flavor. The flavor's in the fat. Come on. Some of you folks are on some wacko diet. You're living some kind of flavorless Christian life. Come on. I know you've been listening to the wrong message. You've been listening to the wrong message. Some of you would spend an hour cutting the fat off every bit of meat and the flavor's all in the fat. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Fat speaks of abundance. Sweet speaks of goodness and pleasantness and satisfaction. I want to tell you, the commandments of God are about freedom, not restriction. When God says to me, you shall not commit adultery, I say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, I will not invite the devastation and destruction that adultery brings into my family. That's a promise. That's not a restriction, that's freedom. Oh, I can't run around with all these other women. Oh, that's restriction. No, that's freedom. That's freedom. My family won't be destroyed as a result of that adultery. My relationship with my wife will not be destroyed because of that adultery. And so on and so on and so on. All the commandments of God, they're not about restriction. They're about freedom. They're promises. God is on our side. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can eat the fat and drink the sweet. See, the key is always in eating as naturally as possible. You know that, don't you? Doesn't matter how much fat or how sweet, but get food that's as close to the ground as possible or as close to its origin as possible. It's the same spiritually. We need to feed on the uncompromised, undiluted, unprocessed by theologians, denominations, Bible colleges, and everything else, institutions. We need to get the word before it's been processed. Yes. Just like the food. You need to get that food before it's been processed. Come on, eat the fat. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Forget the diet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. See, if the word that you're feeding on is not leading you into abundance, into the abundance of God's provision in every area of your life, then it's been processed. And most of the goodness has been removed. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Come on. If the word you are feeding on is not leading you into the abundance, into the fatness of God's provision in every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body, then it has been processed and most of the goodness has been removed. You go into the supermarket, the freezers are stocked full of boxes with lovely pictures on the front. All tastes like cardboard. That frozen fish, it's muck. Tastes like cardboard. Frozen chicken tastes like cardboard. Doesn't even taste like chicken. Everything else tastes like chicken, but that mess doesn't even taste like chicken. Come on, somebody says to me, I had some snake there. What does it taste like? Tastes like chicken. Well, fair enough, you know. Come on, I ate a rabbit. What does it taste like? Tastes like chicken. You know, I had some alligator meat. What does it taste like? Tasted like chicken. But that stuff that's got chicken on the box, picture of chicken, succulent looking chicken on the box, it doesn't taste like chicken. Tastes like cardboard. Who remembers that kerp that you caught, strangled it, slit its throat, let the blood, put it in the boiling pan, took it out? Can you taste that, Janet, still? Mm-hmm. You'd be hard pushed to ever get a chicken close to that taste. Unless you grow it yourself, raise it yourself. Don't get too fond of it. You know what I'm saying? Don't give it a name. Don't give me cluck cluck a name, you know what I'm saying? Come on, Annie, here's your breakfast. It'll be hard to choke, choke, bump, bump, get it in the pan. It'll be more difficult. I'm not saying it'll be impossible. With God, all things are possible, but it will be harder. You know what I'm saying? Don't name your sheep or your cows or your chickens or anything else. Don't get too personal now. Glory to God. Because we're here to eat the fat and drink the sweet. Hallelujah. come on. But see, we live in a day of processed muck. And so often it's the same spiritually. We're fed a diet of processed. The Word of God has been processed. It's come through a process where most of the goodness has been removed and other things have been added to it. You know what it says in the book of Revelation? It says, don't take away or add to it. This Word, the prophecy of this book. Hallelujah. But it's been taken away from, processed, taken away from and added to. Some people even think that God doesn't want to make you happy, but Jesus said 9 times in Matthew chapter 5 between verses 3 and 11, happy, joyful, and empowered are so and so and so and so. That word there, blessed, means happy, joyful, and empowered. If God didn't come to make you happy, I don't know what business Jesus had telling us that. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Nehemiah said, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Who knows, your attitude and your outlook can have a greater effect on your health and well-being than the food you eat. Right. Hear what I said? I said your attitude and your outlook can have a greater effect on your physical well-being than the food that you eat. Do we have an attitude of gratitude towards God's Word? Do we give, I always say to people, give thanks and get it down you. But I'm talking about physical food. I'm saying the same thing about spirit. Give thanks and get it down you. All that remains for us in our relationship with God, all that's been left for us to do is give thanks. Amen. Jesus blessed the food. Hallelujah, before he ate. How do you bless the food? It says he gave thanks for it. That's how you bless it. You don't have to give a 50-minute prayer. Going round the world praying for everybody from Adam through to some fella ain't even born yet. You just give thanks and get it down you. That's how you bless the food. That's how you stay happy, joyful, and empowered. Glory to God. Do we see God's Word as positive or negative? Do you ever take God's Word as a negative into your life? Or do you always take God's Word as a positive? Come on. You need to understand, Jesus took all the negatives and made them positives at the cross. Right. Hallelujah. We were on a negative course from the time we were born. There was only one thing, one certainty in our lives from the moment we were conceived, was that one day we would die. Whether we died in the womb or whether we died 100 years after we were born, the only certainty we had in our lives was that we were going to die. That's a negative journey we were on. But Jesus intersected that journey. Hallelujah. He came from heaven to earth. He cut through that negative journey that we were on. And he intersected our journey at the cross. And he turned that negative into a positive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he guaranteed us that when this journey ends, it doesn't end. It just hits the cross and goes up. You're walking along your negative plane. And all of a sudden you encounter the cross. And it's all up from then on. Hallelujah. Come on. You ever watch that spider walk across it? Well, Katrina wouldn't watch it for too long, so she'd shout for Phoebe. In case the wee blinker got away, you know what I'm saying? But you know, when he hits the skirting boards, he goes up. Our house is overrun by slaters. Who knows what slaters are? Yeah. Old house, old walls. They've been living there for a lot longer than us. You know, they've been breeding in there. And I mean, sometimes you've 20 slaters wandering around the house all at the same time. That laminate floor's brought them out. I mean, they just love it. They skate along there, man. They've got skateboards now and they're slaters, you know what I'm saying? they've evolved from slaters to skaters, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But you know, I watch them sometimes. I like to watch these wee things. They can cover a lot of ground for their size in a short time. And if they go along and boom, and they hit the skirting board, and what do? They go up. So they end up in the washhand basin, in the bath, in the shower. Yeah, they get everywhere, these things, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does the Word of God feed your optimism or your pessimism? Come on. Does the Word of God feed your optimism or your pessimism? Here's a good question for you, church. Are we expecting things to get better or worse? I listen to people's conversation. I know a lot of Christians that from the way they talk are telling me they're expecting things to get worse. when they're reading the Word of God, there's a mourning and a weeping. They're not eating the fat. They're not eating the they're not believing for the abundance and the goodness and the sweet. They're believing for the bitter and the lean times. Oh, more lean times are coming. Eat the fat. Oh, there'll be days of great bitterness. Eat, drink the sweet. Forget a diet. You're on a wacko diet. Give it up. You've carried too much weight. I'm believing for things to get better. My God's always the God of better. We were saying that my God is a Savior. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. That sounds better to me. Who knows, a few weeks ago, maybe you saw it, all the news reports, every newspaper was carrying pictures like this. Who remembers that leg? Did you see the leg? It's not a leg like this, it was a famous leg. It belonged to Angelina Jolie. Did you see it? She was at the Oscars or something, and she wore a dress that was split up to here, and her leg stuck out like this from the dress, and it was in every news report and every newspaper. Some of you girls see that? Maybe see it? And it was being paraded as an example of a healthy, fine figure of a woman kind of leg. But it was actually scrawny and unhealthy and unnaturally sculpted. And I'll tell you why. Because the average woman needs a daily calorie intake of at least 2,000 calories, whereas Angelina Jolie is lucky if she manages 600. So what was being presented to the world? Come on, what was being presented to the world as the finest leg you ever could see was actually unhealthy, scrawny, and artificially sculpted. Why? Because she's 1,400 calories under her healthy intake. And all these young women looked at that leg and said, I need my leg to be like that. And all the men said, I need my girlfriend's leg to be like that, or my wife's leg to be like that, or my granny's leg to be like that. Why does my granny not have legs like that? Come on. Listen, we need to hear this. But I want to tell you, you see, What was being presented as perfect and desirable was actually the product of an unhealthy diet. And who knows the Sundays that happens in the church? Come on, sometimes we are asked to cut back on the calories. Cut back on the message. Just compromise the message a little bit. Cut back on some of the calories, guys. Come on. Don't talk about this healing stuff. And come on, and it'll be more presentable. More desirable. More palatable. Come on, many things that are lifted up as examples of success and desirability have restricted the diet of the word that they preach. And so in reality, they're unhealthy. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. The fat word, the sweet word. Come on, let's say it. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Glory to God. And your leg will not be scrawny and unhealthy and artificially sculpted. It'll be healthy. And every part of you will be healthy. I tell you, if you're supposed to have an average of 2,000 calories a day and you're only taking an intake of 600, you're in trouble. I want to tell you, if you're not taking every word of God as part of your daily diet, then you're in trouble. You're unhealthy. And in the kingdom of God, unhealthy is unholy. He says, be holy, for I am holy. If God says I can eat the fat and drink the sweet, then that's what I need to do. Come on. Time to forget the diet, folks. Really done. That's a nice short word it tonight, eh? Turn that person in and say, eat the fat. In fact, say, forget the diet. Eat the fat. Come on, eat. You need to hear this. There's power in this. I didn't come here tonight to entertain you. I came here to give you something real. that can change your life forever, change the course of your life forever. Turn that person next to you and say, eat the fat. And drink the sweet. Nehemiah 8 verse 12, I'll just finish with this, in the New Living Translation said, so the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's words and understood them. Have you heard God's word tonight? Have you understood the message of God's word tonight? Glory to God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Don't ever allow your calorie intake. Don't ever go on a diet in regards to God's word. Don't ever allow your calorie intake to be decreased. Don't ever, 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 ever swallow processed muck. Don't accept processed muck when you can have the fat and the sweet. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the recommendation of your word. I thank you for the exhortation of your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can be healthy and we can be strong, even though we eat the fat and drink the sweet. Thank you. The only way to be healthy and the only way to be strong, the only way to be holy as you're holy, is to take your advice, to take every word that you speak and to receive it into our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Father, I pray that you would be glorified through a people, Lord, who know how to eat the fat and drink the sweet, who always take your word, Lord, as positive and never as negative, who allow your word to feed their optimism and never their pessimism, who always take your word as an invitation to believe for the better and not for the worse. In Jesus' name, be glorified, I pray, in the midst of your people. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come on. Glory. Hallelujah.